Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? Paul, is that you? Hello? Hello?
Lou, I can hear you. Can you hear us? Lou, are you with me?
Hello?
Hello, Lou, can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
There he is.
Clear.
Lou, how
there
are
you,
my
go.
Friend?
Where you been? I've been trying to get you the last
four or five days. We have been on hiatus. We are back. We are back. Vacation's over. Time to work again.
Okay, great. Well, I knew Monday was an off day. I knew that.
Yeah, we went on and took our days off because we know we don't get anything else until the start of the year.
Right. Well, we got a lot to go on this weekend. I mean, we got the playoffs starting this weekend, and we got the college football championship Monday night.
Yeah, as I was saying, and I think we were having technical difficulties. So
we
I'm not going to monologue everybody all over again, but
right.
we're it sounds like we're back live now. What I was saying is they got to come up with a new deal for the playoffs. You can't constantly let teams like UCF get screwed. If you're going to have four spots, five power conferences, you're already leaving off a power conference. There's no way they're going to take an outsider in because, let's be honest, the power conferences don't want to split that money. It's just not going to happen.
They should. I mean, I think it's being selfish that they won't split it. I mean, especially teams who are worthy of deserving of getting it, because Central Florida is the only true unbeaten team of this year, and, you know, they got cheated out of, you know, competing for the national playoff spot, and they had to sell for the Puke Bowl. I mean, the Peach Bowl, whatever it was. You know, but still,
like,
they are deserving of it.
Yeah, well,
and
you are right. And they beat the one team that beat Georgia and Alabama.
Mm-hmm. You know, so
something has to change.
It would. I mean, you know, they should be ranked higher. Like, oh, you're not a power conference. You can't be ranked that high. Come on. Don't be ridiculous. That's just being biased.
Exactly. We got some NFL games this week. We're going to get them picked tomorrow. But what do you think of seeing new flavor? The Bills are in, and I can say they're new flavor because they haven't been in since 1999. You got the Rams.
Wow.
People aren't sick of the Vikings. Tennessee's back in the playoffs. You got some new blood to go with the old blood, like Pittsburgh and New England. How are you liking that this year without seeing the same old teams over and over again?
Well, it does create new blood, maybe some new interest. But in case you know, are you familiar with what's called the Westgate Superbook? That's the big shots who do all the betting in Vegas.
I sure am.
Okay, well, they knocked Philly's chances considerably low from, say, what it was back in mid-October or November. They were, like, right up there. They were almost considered the favorite. Now their odds have shrunk to, I think, 20 or maybe now even 30-1. Ever since Wentz got injured, their stock has sank.
Well, you can see it. I mean, Nick Foles
is
going to have to do something kind of special. Now, he has an advantage, though, because they're playing in Philly. So he doesn't have to travel. So hopefully his game – you never have to worry about – you know, the one thing about Case Keenum, when people put him down all year, well, Case Keenum is okay. Can he do this? So he did that. Well, can Case Keenum do this? So Case Keenum did that. Well, can he win on the road? So he won on the road. Well, can he – Nick Foles is not going to have to go through the on-the-road part of that put down. Because everything is going to be home cooking. And if Philly can play defense and Philly can score just enough, they don't have to leave Philadelphia until it's time to go to Minnesota to play in the Super Bowl.
That's going to be a tough task, though, because Minnesota is awfully tough at home.
They really are. They really are. But I don't want to give my pick away. You almost got me to do a teaser. But I will say this. I'll tease this much. I don't think Philadelphia or Minnesota will be in the Super Bowl. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. I'll hold my prediction then too on that. Yeah.
Same with tomorrow, I'm not gonna give up my NCAA pick actually until Monday, because until Monday to give that.
Yeah, but you hear that the people are going to this game in Atlanta on Monday. Oh boy, they're gonna pay a steep price to watch this game. Over $2,200 for this. And that's in the nosebleed seats.
Well, not only that, but you're going to have to get to that game very early because the president of the free world is going to be there. So you're going to have to get there probably about 3 hours early just to get through security.
Security? Well, if we hop on a plane now, we can get there by maybe about 8 a.m. Monday. Well, no, I am right now, Paul. So, you know, I figure, you know, assuming the airports have been closed, you know, and all the baggage and everything and all the mess going around, we should make it by about Monday morning if we leave now.
You're not lying. I heard they shut JFK down, which if JFK is shut down, you know that's all chaos because that's one of the largest airports in the world.
Well, I'm more close to Newark than JFK.
Okay.
New Jersey.
I've flown out of Newark before, Lou, and I'll tell you what, it was not the most pleasant experience in my life. I had to get from one terminal to another terminal, and the route that they gave me to get over there, they told me to walk, and then they told me not to walk because there's too much construction and to take the shuttle. But by the time I took the shuttle and got over there, that was a 45-minute trip, and I could see the other terminal from where I was standing. It's crazy.
I had a problem once then, too, because we were going to Vegas one time, and the flight was delayed, I think, 3 hours because it was a nasty storm in the Midwest. And you know, I don't remember flying this, so I hope we get a delayed flight. Like, yes, good. I don't worry about flying in a thunderstorm. Thank God. So
yeah.
We did get there, though. By the time we got there, it was about, let's see. Well, don't forget, it's a three-hour time difference. So I think we got there, like, about 11:30 West Coast time. It was about 2:30 a.m. here. I mean, what a day, though. Oof. I mean, between getting there, leaving for the airport, flying at that hour, like, oh, boy. Well, luckily, you got a chance to, you know, get that 3 hours back.
Yeah. Well, we never get time back, inevitably. But, well, my friend, we are back. I'm glad you called. Hopefully, I hear from you in the morning, or tomorrow, rather, I meant to say, when we make those NFL
picks. I'll be back. I'm just glad you're back. I thought you disappeared.
All right, buddy. No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
Good.
All right, buddy. Well, I will talk to you mañana.
All right, 3 o'clock.
All right, Lou. Talk to you then. Take care.
You got it. Thanks, Paul.
That's our friend Lou giving a call in. Great friend of the program. We had some technical difficulties, so let me reset real quick. Obviously, you're listening to The Cave Show. This is PLR. We're broadcasting live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Mention PLR sent you down here today. Since I'm in the house today, they will take 15% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Get a little nice nameplate on the front. I know Aris says it's a sports cave, so feel free to come down, become a member, get your locker, get your sticks. Greatest selection in the valley, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. And again, let them know PLR sent you. Take 15% off today. Well, we got a superstar. You know, every time he comes on, I know this is my brother in crime, but it's still so pleasurable when you can get a big-name superstar to call your show. Host of Easy Sports Talk, the one and only my brother, Ed Smith on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Ed, what's up, bro?
Happy New Year to you, brother Paul.
Happy New Year to you, too. What's going on?
Man, I just got back in yesterday from the Sugar Bowl. Went over there to see my nephew play, and I was, you know, it was a busy start to the new year. But you know, not the greatest game in the world. But I'm glad the tie rolled on. Man, it was a great experience.
You know, this is when you know you're a superstar, because I was at the Fiesta Bowl, and you were at the Fiesta Bowl, and then you look up,
yeah,
and then you're at the Sugar Bowl. Now, I will say this though, usually you are the superstar, but you were with a very special superstar at that at the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, Quinn, I had a little Q on my side, man. He was like the star of the show. They had we sat with some great people, and you know he's batting them eyes at the ladies and stuff like that. Everybody loves him. So, but that was actually his first football game. We've done basketball and some baseball. So that was his first football game. We had a ball, man.
That's awesome. I know that was special, not just for him, but for you. It's something about dads, when we take them to that first game, it's the joy on their face. I don't think they understand. It's the joy on our faces, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know what, I have memories of my dad taking me and my brother to, like, Phillies games and stuff like that. Those are the things that stick with us, you know. And, you know, many, many years from now, he'll be talking about some of his first experiences. And you know, I was glad we could share those moments, man.
You know, that's why I'm a diehard Bulls fan. My dad had season tickets. So that was easy for me to become a fan. Not only was I at the Bulls game, I was sitting with, you know, one of the coolest dudes I thought on earth. So that was win-win for me all the way around. And let's jump right in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Ed Smith. Ed, I was talking about UCF, and I know they've anointed themselves the football champions because they're the only undefeated team. And I think that's great. I think it's great self-promotion. I love the fact that they gave all their coaches bonuses for being a national champion. I think all that is all well and fine. My problem is if you only have four teams that can get in the tournament to play, because I'm a proponent for eight, and you have five power conferences, you're already telling a power conference they're going to be excluded. How can an outside team ever get a shot as long as there's only four spots?
Yeah, I mean, that's the flaw, the biggest flaw in the system. You know, the on the other side of it, though, Paul, is just so tough. You're already asking these kids to go out, you know, and play through the holidays, play those bowl games, you know, you start extending them another week, you know, if you throw other teams in there, which we all know eventually they're going to do, and these kids aren't getting anything in the distance. Obviously, you know, we always get the argument about the free education, but what these kids are putting, you know, what they're putting, laying on the line every week, you know, it's tough, you know, so it's almost like it's a double-edged sword, man, when you talk about, you know, somebody's going to be left out. And, you know, what I think they should do is probably eliminate a couple of the regular season games, you know, maybe get it back down to 10 or 11, and then you can throw that extra week in there and somehow try to figure out. But it's so tough, man, because we all know it's all about the money and the dollars, and everybody wants to see the big schools in there, and then you see UCF get left out. But like you said, even in a perfect world, somebody's going to get left out when you talk about the Power Five. One of these days it's going to come down to a bunch of, like say, every top team in the Power Five has one loss, you know, so everybody's going to have an argument. So it's going to, you know, it's eventually going to catch them, but we all know at some point they're going to go to six or eight.
You know what I don't understand is I remember when growing up, New Year's Day was the last day for bowl games. That was your big day. You woke up and you had, and they even came on back to back. It was like the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and then the Orange Bowl on one network, and then it was the Cotton Bowl and the Sugar Bowl on another network. And we know they're not going to put them up against each other anymore. That we know. But why do they have to start so late? Why can't we do this? Why can't we say it's an 18 playoff? The top four seeds, they get to host home games. That's their reward for being a top four seed. The bottom four seeds, they just play in that other stadium's, you know, in other team's home stadium. And then when you get to the Final Four, that's when you start incorporating the Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl, however they do their rotation. Why can't we do that and just start a week early as opposed to making them wait a month to play anyway?
Now, you talking like you got sense in your head or something. They don't like to listen. Anything that makes sense is the exact opposite of what they like to do. And obviously, we all know that the dollars, that's what rules the roost, you know. And then, you know, these bowls, they're going to try to, especially the bowl, the Orange, you know, Cotton or Sugar and Rose, they're going to try to hold on to everything as long as they can because those are the biggest money makers. So, I mean, what you just said makes a whole lot of sense and should make a lot of sense to a lot of people in those rooms making the decisions. But, you know, they get paid a lot of money to put money in a lot of the pockets of these big universities. And that's, you know, that doesn't make, you know, anything that makes sense doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because you still get your name bowls, you still get your name rec, but let's just say Michigan is one of those top four teams. You mean to tell me that the NCAA and television wouldn't love to watch another 100,000 packed in Ann Arbor to do a playoff game for the right to, and they could even market it like that. The winner of the Michigan game or the winner of the Alabama game earns the right to play in the Fiesta Bowl, earns the right to play in the Sugar Bowl. All they're going to do is make money anyway, which the players won't see. But why not do that? We have the lower schools starting their playoffs on time. The big schools can't.
I was just going to say that, Paul. Anytime you look at the Division II and whatever they call FBS and all that, they found a way to figure it out. And you would think that the bigger schools would follow suit. But, you know, like I said, when you're talking about all that money, they love to keep it in their pockets. And it just doesn't seem like they're, you know, doesn't seem like they're willing to even consider change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just funny to watch. UCF beat the team that beat Georgia and Alabama, who are playing for a national title game, and you're telling them, well, if you play the schedule they played, you wouldn't be that good. Well, we'll never know because, you know what, when schools are on a come up, you remember when Boise State was really good, and they're just good now, but when they were really good, they scheduled SEC teams. They had to travel east and either play them in their home stadium or neutral field in the south just to get a game. These schools aren't going to go play Boise, Central Florida, and those games because they don't want that to be the first loss on the road. They don't want to do home and home with those teams. So when people say, well, they should play that schedule, those people should shut up because the big schools won't play that schedule. They won't do it.
I kind of, you know, what are your thoughts on, like, say if they lined up. Now, nobody gave them a chance. I know all the prognosticators, nobody gave them a chance against Auburn. Obviously, they beat Auburn. They showed that they can play with the big boys. Do you think it would be even a contest if they lined up against an Alabama or Georgia? I think they would actually fare well. I'm not saying they would win the game, but I think they would fare well against both of them. And then with that statement alone, they should have an opportunity to play for a national championship.
You know what? I agree with you. I think, and I'm going to show my age here. I think that year that BYU won the national title, I want to say that was 85, 86, a long time ago. I honestly think that's when the big heads got together from the power conferences and said, this will never happen again. We are not going to ever, ever do that again. So we have to come up with a way to ensure that we will look down upon them, because if Notre Dame goes undefeated or Notre Dame is ranked in the top 10, they're getting in one of those bowl games. And I think they fixed it in a way since then to make sure we don't split this pot with BYU. We don't split this pot with Central Florida. We're not splitting this pot with Boise State. And I think the more people start to realize that, maybe they can get enough of a voice to say, well, we need to take this thing to 8 games to give these other schools that can play football a shot to play football.
Yeah. You know, the ironic part, though, Paul, even when they go to 8 games, they're going to find a way to eliminate the teams like the Central Florida and stuff like that. They'll figure out a way to come up with some reason why that still doesn't work. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Yep, kind of sad. Your boy, Nicky Saban, he's complaining about the schedule and that they should get 2 more days before they play the game, and it's unfair to the kids. Now, this is the name, same Nick Saban. I didn't hear complaining that he got into the tournament without even winning a conference game and not having to play a conference game, so already getting an extra week to prepare for a bowl game. I don't remember hearing Nick Saban complain about that. Maybe I missed it. Did you hear it?
No, they always spin things to their side. And I will say this much. It was kind of, you know, strange being there. You know, Monday, the game was a night game. And by the time the kids got back to the hotel, we met Lil Irv. And it was, you know, you're going to like 1:30. It was almost 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, they gave the kids a free night. They were like, they can go out, hang out a little bit. And their flight was like at 10 o'clock the next morning. And I was like going over the schedule in my head. And I was like, well, you guys got to travel tomorrow. I said, the game's on Monday. You know, meaning this is going to be Tuesday. You guys are traveling. The game's on Monday. I said to my nephew, you got a whole lot of time, does it? But that's the nature of the beast. And like you said, they had the benefit of not playing in a conference title game. So they are already at advantage. So, but I mean, quite honestly, he's probably – from a coaching standpoint, you know, he's got beef. For me, it'd be from a player standpoint. These kids are, you know, I said they had a little time between their last game and the bowl game, but still, you know, we're asking them to do a whole lot for free. That's the part that gets me all the time. You know, no matter how many pair of shoes they get and sweatsuits and stuff like that, they're still walking around, you know, sore the next day and then have to rebound and play that next week, and it's all for free.
Yep. Yep,
so
on the
same,
Cave Show, the one and only Ed Smith.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I always laugh when coaches say it's for the kids. Because let's be honest. If it's for the kids, I tell you what, I heard Dan Lebatard say it the other day. If it's for the kids and everything is for the kids, why don't the coaches play for a master's degree or coach for a master's degree instead of $7 million a year?
There you go.
Anyway. We're not going to see that. We're not going to see that happen anytime soon.
Oh, no, no. And then they get to leave whenever they want, and the kids are, you know, strapped into these, you know, scholarships. So we see all the coaches jumping around now. The guy from, you know, University or Central Florida, you know, he's running off to another job and leaving the kids behind. But you know, that's the nature of the beast.
Who wins on Monday?
You know, I got a roll tide, man. I, you know, I just got this. The thing that scares me the most is, you know, watching Alabama's offense, man, they're so predictable. And if not for that defense, they would have been a whole lot of a different outcome, if you ask me. If Georgia, you know, fires it up like they did against Oklahoma and Alabama's playing from behind where they have to depend on that passing game, it could be an entirely different outcome. But if that defense comes to play the way they did against Clemson, I mean, they might only have to score about, you know, 14 points to win that game. I'm going with the Tide, but I think it's going to be big boy football, man.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of hitting. You know, I was saying to the caller before, if you're going to go to that game, you got to get there about 2-3 hours before because the president's going to be there, so you know what security is going to be like for that game.
Oh, I can only imagine. I would say, you know, it's funny, the way them boys were hitting out there the other day, I would advise anybody who's going, if you're close enough to the field, you might want to bring a helmet and a chin strap, too, because there's some serious hit going out there.
Ed, you played in the league, and you were at the game. How good is Saquon Barkley?
Man, he is something else. I mean, you know, it's funny when, you know, you always hear the stories about somebody playing like at a different speed. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play with some great athletes, and you can always tell when somebody just has that extra gear. Man, he's something special. It really is. I mean, he put that team on his back that game, and pretty much just, I mean, he made it look easy, man. He's going to be something else at the next level.
On that 92-yard run, it looked like the defender had the angle, and it's special when guys can hit that next speed, that R button, that R1 button on Xbox One.
There you go.
hit that next speed. Who did you see when you were in the league? What do you remember as a running back that hit that extra speed where you're looking out there and your team's playing him and you're like, that safety don't have a shot because he's going to hit that next speed?
Man, that's a good question. I played against some really good ones. The elusiveness and Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders had, I mean, he made dudes look silly just trying to tackle him. And some of his best runs, man, were for losses. That's the crazy part, you know, where he would turn a 5-yard loss into a, you know, just getting back to the line of scrimmage was impressive. But when he got out in the open field, man, it wasn't necessarily a burner, but just like just trying to tackle him, man, he's like a little bowling ball. So, you know, and then
yeah.
Honestly, I thought I was up close and personal with Jerry Rice, who was, you know, probably the GOAT as far as wide receivers go, just watching him, you know, in like he was one of those guys also that made it look really easy in terms of just he never looked like he was like sweating or, you know, struggling to run. He was just so smooth, and that was, you know, that was always just that was kind of cool to watch as well.
Who was the best offensive player you ever played with?
Oh boy, let me see. Best offensive player. That's a good question. I would say probably like a Jamal Anderson.
Okay.
Jamal, I mean, he set the records that one year. Like I said, it was kind of short-lived because, you know, he got injuries, kind of took him out early. But he was, you know, like, as far as all the teammates I played with, you know, I had an opportunity. I went up to Detroit, I was going to play with Barry. But that was the year he retired. So I'd have to say like a Jamal Anderson.
You guys beat Minnesota to earn the right to go to the Super Bowl. And I know we've talked about Randy Moss a lot. How fast was Robert Smith, though?
Robert Smith was something else. He was another dude that if you didn't pay attention, you'd look up, and he was just running by you. And he didn't – it never looked like he was, like, at full gait. It always looked like he was kind of gliding. And he was something special, man. Like I said, he doesn't get the credit that he does because he was overshadowed, especially that year that, you know, with Randall being there, and they had Moss in his rookie year, and they had Carter on the outside. He was kind of the, you know, the forgotten piece there. But without him, that team would not have had the success that they did. I was always impressed, you know, because he did everything so quietly and just so efficiently. But, yeah, he never gets the credit that I think he honestly deserves.
I'm going to give you six names for finalists for the Hall of Fame. For the Hall of Fame. Actually, there's eight names. Only five are going to get in. Tony Boselli, Isaac Bruce, Edrin James, Ray Lewis, John Lynch, Randy Moss, T.O., and Urlacher. Only five can get in. Either
wow.
Give me your five in or your three out.
Wow. You now, oh, my goodness. I don't know if Boselli gets in. I'm not sure his name is big enough. I'll go with the ones out. I think Moss gets in. They're probably going to punish T.O. again and make him wait another year. And then I'm not sure if Isaac Bruce gets in this time around. But then, like I said, it could be a toss-up between him and Edrin James. But, I mean, that's a good list. I mean, there's probably I probably will miss on all three of my picks. But those are the three I would probably say. You know, and obviously you're a Bears man. What do you think about Urlacher?
Okay, I think Urlacher gets in. I do. I don't know if he should get in that list, but I think he should get in. I think Boselli should get in because a lot of those holes were open because of Tony Boselli. So my out would be I would make John Lynch wait one more year. I would make Bruce wait one more year. And I would make Edrin wait one more year. And here's what I find funny. We talk about T.O. and the sit-ups and the talking and the quote-unquote bad teammate, and we want to talk about off the field stuff when he's never done anything off the field. But we're going to put Ray Lewis in. And he was up for accessory to murder.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of funny how we can just forget certain things about certain people that we like and conjure up stuff about people that we don't like. So maybe it's just me, but do you find that ironic? We want to talk T.O. and what he did off the field, but we don't want to talk Ray Lewis and what he did off the field.
Yeah, no, you couldn't have hit it any better on the head. The crazy part is, you know, Ray's kind of done a nice job of, you know, recouping his image and stuff like that. But what he was up for, man, was ridiculous. And, you know, like you said, T.O. has never done anything off the field. T.O. has never done himself any favors by his antics and his attitude and stuff like that. But it's not, I mean, that's not supposed to be a huge factor in what you know, taking away from what you did on the field. You look at his numbers, they're comparable to, I mean, top five wide receiver in all of the history of the game, you know, in terms of what he did. And then you also have to look at what he did. Remember the year they went to the Super Bowl, he had basically a fractured ankle dog on there and went out there and performed. Not only performed, almost helped that team win a Super Bowl. You know, so, you know, you have to take that all into account. One of the things, if I were him, and it's hard to do some, Paul, but sometimes you have to humble yourself and just, you know, not take the hard stance that he's taken, because he's basically called the voters out, and they all know it. But at some point, you know, you just got to pretend, you know, maybe make them think you don't really care that much, and that might, you know, make them think you humbled yourself a little bit, because that's what they want sometimes. But at the same time, I don't blame him for taking his stance, because if I had his numbers and his resume and they were going to tell me that I wasn't better than some of the people they're putting in front of me, I'd be a little ticked off too. But we know that's T.O.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crazy that he's not already in. And when you look at all of his stats and everything that he's done, and he's played in a Super Bowl, how do you keep justifying every single year this man is not a Hall of Famer? I think it's funny, because we know Moss is the first ballot. He's getting it.
Yeah.
And we know Ray Lewis is getting in. But I think the travesty will come here. If Isaac Bruce gets in before T.O., we know it has – I mean, we already know. But that confirms it has nothing to do with numbers on the field.
That would be my biggest slight, too. I was literally just thinking that before you said it. They put Bruce in, and I played with Isaac Bruce in my first training camp in the NFL. I was with the Rams before I went to the Redskins. But, I know what Isaac can do, but – there's no comparison the impact that the two players had, side by side. But, it might work out that way. And what I'm interested in, if T.O. doesn't get in, man, I'm going to be glued to the set when he gets in front of that camera, or the camera the next time, man. Hey, bring your popcorn. I want to hear this one. Get the popcorn ready.
Why is Ricky Waters not in the Hall of Fame? Is it the T.O. effect? Media just didn't like
him? Yeah, you know, that's a tough one, man. I'd have to look deeper at his numbers, because he's not even really ever gotten like what you call serious consideration as far as I know. I don't even remember his name come up too much, but yeah, I would say it's probably the T.O. effect, probably the same thing. But I'd have to take a deeper look at his numbers to know exactly.
Yeah, I always like to read. I'll text you a little bit later. Ask people, these are numbers for running back. Tell me if you consider him a Hall of Famer. And everyone says yes. And then I say they belong to Ricky Waters. And people go, oh, really? Really? And I always laugh, because I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You say Ricky Waters, everyone says no. You read his numbers and the Super Bowl victory, and people go, oh, yeah, I guess. And we go to... I guess he should be in. I understand why, but I can never really break it down to people to say how good Ricky Waters was, because Ricky Waters was a monster.
Oh, he was a beast, man. And I think part of it too, man, is like, you know, he had those in and out, you know, stops where he would just kind of sometime be there, and next, you know, he's off living you know, a different life, you know, whatever he was doing. But, I mean, you know, that they'll hold that against him forever. But, yeah, we all know what Ricky could do when he was on the field.
You know what? I'll give you this real quick. Yards from scrimmage, starting with his rookie year, 1,400, then 12, then 15, then 17, then 18, then 15, then 16, then 15, then 18. Over 10,000 yards running, over 4,000 yards receiving, and he's not a Hall of Famer? That's so hard for me to believe. That's really hard for me to believe. On the Kelly Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ed Smith. Ed, tell me about these Cardinals. Their coach is gone. They don't have a quarterback under contract for next year. Their best player is going to turn 34. Their best running back is coming back from injury. Please tell me, where does this team go in a division with the Rams getting better, San Francisco getting better, and Seattle still has that guy up there that's a Houdini when it comes to escaping being sacked? Where do the Cardinals go?
We've been talking about this for the last few weeks of the season, Paul, and, I mean, this was like you couldn't have asked for worst scenarios to actually come true all at the same time, because for a little bit it was, well, is Carson done, which you still thought, well, you still have Arians, you know, he can do this, you got Larry. Carson retires after Arians does, so now you have no leadership, no franchise quarterback, and who knows what might happen with Larry. Larry right now is, you know, says he's staying. As far as I know, you know, he could decide, okay, I'm not coming back for this. And we could be looking at 2018 version of the late 90s Cardinals, man, where remember when they were still playing at ASU and the stadium was empty? Because people, you know how it happens out here. Everybody's fine when you're winning games. You know, everybody wants to sit in the stands and cheer you on. But when it looks bad, which it looks like it might be if they don't make a, you know, fill some of these holes and get some leadership and stuff like that, man, you're talking about a bleak future for these Cardinals, and you know, everything they built, took them so long to build, could be, I mean, they could be right back where they started from, just like that. What Yogi Berra said, it looked like deja vu all over again, man.
Do they make a move for Kirk Cousins, or do they call Minnesota and try to get one of their three quarterbacks? What do you think would be a better move for them?
You know, Kirk Cousins is a mid-level guy. I'm not, you know, so is Keenum out in Minnesota. My thing is, man, you better start one. You better draft for your future. Meaning, you got to go find a true franchise quarterback. Not, and you know, obviously, you might have to go get a stopgap until then. But whatever you do, you need to go find the next whoever it is, so you can do something about that position for a very long time. Because we all know, like, you know, Kirk Cousins hit or miss. His own coach even played him down, you know, in a press conference like this week, you know, basically talking about, you know, they were 7-9 and, you know, that, I mean, that's pretty much where Kurt led them. So, and they had a lot of injuries and stuff like that too, but, you know, with the Cardinals and their older roster, they're going to be dealing with that themselves. So it's one of those situations, man, where it could be, we could be covering them living at the bottom of that division for a few years. Cause like you mentioned, all the other teams, you know, and I would say Seattle is more on the slide across the board. I wouldn't say they're declining at a huge rate, but they're obviously not ascending either. So, but I would say, you know, if you want to spend a lot of time sitting behind San Fran and LA, the Rams, just keep doing what you're doing, because that's what it might end up looking like over a bunch of time.
You know, I haven't, and I know no one's mentioned the name, but like I said, I would find out what Minnesota wants for Teddy Bridgewater and still draft a quarterback. But why not? You know, if you're not – Kirk Cousins is going to get paid. But somebody's going to pay Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely,
one way or the other, he's going to get some money. But if you are not trying to eat up that much of your cap, why not go get a Bridgewater? Why not? And I know Bradford stays hurt all the time. But why not go get a Bradford and draft a quarterback? Because the guys you have just aren't doing it. And I'm going to ask you this. Have you seen a quarterback get more excuses made for him in his life other than Blaine Gabbert?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, you and I talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. I mean, that dude has not nine lives. He's got 15, 16 lives, man, because every time he's around, they want to make an excuse. Well, all the different offensive coordinators had and this and that. I've seen a whole lot of quarterbacks overcome a lot more than he has. And like, and you look at his physical attributes, I'll ask you, what sticks out to you about him? He doesn't have a rifle arm. He's not a runner. You know, he doesn't look like, you know, he can read coverages, you know, or anything like that. So what is it about him that continues to give him, you know, I guess all the, like you said, the excuses and the everybody wanting to pretend like he's still at this stage of his career, a potential franchise quarterback. I have no idea.
People have mentioned Eli. Would you like to see Eli out here?
Man, heck no. Eli, if not for those two championships, which, you know, he two good flash in the pan seasons, what is Eli Manning other than, I mean, probably, at this point in his career, man, heck no. Uh-uh. I can't even come up with enough excuses, you know, why he should be considered. I mean, that, you think about it, Paul. I mean, you'd be better with trying to talk Carson out of retirement than bringing Eli out here. Seriously. Golly.
Last name. What about Alex Smith? We know Kansas City's ready to move and go in a different direction.
He's the one I would take a flyer on. He's the one I would take a flyer on, man, because he's never, like, he's not flat. The problem with Alex Smith, he's not flashy enough. Let's put it this way. He doesn't do anything great enough to, like, elevate himself to, like, that, you know, level that you want. You know, Tom Brady doesn't move well, but Tom's got pinpoint accuracy. You know, he can lead an offense. You know, Alex doesn't throw the ball all that great, especially down the field. And I think some of it is his own fear and what he's been told all through the years that keeps him from doing it. You know, the one thing I will say is a better runner than most people think, but he's not a, you know, he's not a Kaepernick or, you know, whoever you want to put in that category. So he does everything well. He doesn't do anything great. But quite honestly, you know, that might be exactly what you need if you're the Cardinals. You might need somebody to come in here with, you know, be able to lead an offense, not do everything all that great, but just do everything well enough to, you know, give that defense the support they need. And, like, you know, I think he would be the perfect guy to bring in here. And you might be able to go get him from Andy Reid because apparently they're looking to move on from him because they got the rookie and, you know, Mahomes had a chance to play that last week. He looked okay for rookie, you know. It'd be their future. And Alex Smith is not necessarily going to want to sit around there and babysit for the next few years. So it might be time for him to move on.
Cave Show, PLR here. Kerry Lykulol on the one only Ed Smith. What does Marvin Lewis have on the ownership at Cincinnati? Like, what pictures does he have of them?
He got some freaky stuff that nobody ever wants to get out there. I mean, because I thought it was a done deal. And when I woke up to the news that he was coming back, I was like, huh? I mean, who keeps a job when you haven't won a playoff game in 15 years? Now, I mean, I know he's gotten them to the playoffs, but, man, he must have some stuff. They must have, like, one of them real wild parties, and everybody woke up the next day. He was standing there with his Polaroid, like, gotcha. That's the only I can think of.
John Gruden, I looked at his coaching record, and we always talk about coaches winning with other people's players. And let's be fair about this. He won with Tony Dungy's guys. And I looked at his record in Oakland, and it was good. It wasn't great. I looked at his record in Tampa after the Super Bowl. It was average. Why is John Gruden, and after you answer, I got another question for you. Why is he this great 9 years later when he wasn't that great 9 years before?
The legend grows every year that he's away from the game, and what's happened, too, is because he sits on – ESPN's, you know, the Monday Night Football, and he has all these Gruden quarterback sessions and camps and stuff like that. Everybody's bought in and started drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's almost like you don't realize, well, he was pretty much just an average coach all those years ago, but now because he's kept himself in the limelight, he's done nothing but run his mouth and made himself into this, you know, this expert, this guru, quarterback whisperer, whatever you want to call him. Now everybody's, like, bought into it because they've listened to him pretty much toot his own horn, and everybody else tooted for him over the last bunch of years. And now, like I said, people, it's almost like they have amnesia. They can't remember that he really didn't do all that much when he was coaching. And like you said, and he won with Dungy's players. But like I said, the myth grows every year he's away from it. The thing I'm very excited about is now we can stop talking about the myth. We'll actually see how good or bad he really is going to be and how long it takes him to run back to the booth after it's all done, because I kind of got a feeling it might run. I give him probably 3 or 4 years. He's going to be dying to get that suit back on and sit in the booth, man.
So he's a genius after 9 years, and he's going to come back and be a savior. And he hasn't coached anybody. He hasn't done anything except run his camps. Herm Edwards hasn't been a coach for 9 years, but Herm Edwards has been out of the game, and we criticized ASU for bringing him in the coach because he's been away from the game for 9 years. Why is there a difference?
Well, it's funny because they were both in the same boat, kind of, because Herm was on TV at a lesser level. You know, he was doing more just kind of guest, you know, coming on shows and stuff like that. But I don't know if Herm was out there tooting his horn the way Gruden has. And the other thing is, we all know there's a different standard for different people. I'll just leave it at that.
But when you think about it, Herm Edwards was an NFL analyst for ESPN. He coached the Under Armour High School senior game for the last 9 years, so he has a relationship with kids that he's going to be recruiting. None of the ASU recruits decided to leave. They all are still coming, and he still had it for early signing, and now he has his recruiting class that he's going to bring in. And I just find it funny that two guys both been out of the game for 9 years. One's a genius. One, 9 years, the game's passing by. Just an observation that I took. Just an observation. I could be wrong.
You're very good at observing things, Paul.
I'll let you go with these last two. I'm watching basketball, and I'm watching Cleveland and the Celtics play last night. And we know Cleveland can't play defense. We already know that. And we know Boston plays defense very well. And I think it'll be a 6 or 7-game series. And we're watching Houston without James Harden. And even before he got hurt, we watched this one. Ed, how long will on TV we keep trying to talk about Boston and Cleveland and Houston and even San Antonio to a lesser degree, and trying to compare them with Golden State? Are they doing that, and are we doing this just so we have something to talk about till June? Because are you saying anything that's telling you that in a 7-game series, any of those teams can beat Golden State 4 times in 2 weeks?
Absolutely not. And I'll take it a step further for you, Paul. I know how devout, you know, you cover the game, you love the game. I don't even tune in until right around the playoffs, because for me, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Cleveland coming out of the East, Golden State coming out of the West, and Golden State once again will prevail, because when you look at what they have, man, they got all the bases covered. You got KD even now playing all-star defense, so you throw that caveat in there as well. So they've done nothing but get better. The other teams have tried to keep up. But like you said, with Harden in them, they don't play enough defense. And their game is more built for the regular season, because once you get to the 7-game series, you can shut them down. And like I said, Cleveland, they're trying. You know, they went out and got this older cast of guys, and they're going to give it their best shot. And it'll probably, you know, Boston might push them to 5, maybe 6 games in the East. I don't see any other outcome other than that. And then they roll into Golden State, and Golden State turns it on, and you know, here we're crowning them again. So as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. But like you said, everybody needs something to talk about. So they'll talk about it until we get to that point.
All right, we're going to do some rapid quick picks here for the weekend. Tennessee goes to Kansas City. Who you got?
Kansas City.
Atlanta goes to Los Angeles.
I got the Rams. I like them young Rams.
Buffalo goes to Jacksonville.
Wow. Do I have to pick Blake Bortles? Oh my goodness! I guess I'll go with Jackson. I'll go with Jacksonville because of that defense, not because of Blake Bortles.
Carolina goes to New Orleans, which I think will be the best game.
That's the best game, and I see them Saints, man, down there. If it was in Carolina, I'd pick Carolina. Because it's in New Orleans, I'm going with New Orleans.
Do you think, if I don't know if you remember this movie, it's called Celtic Pride with Damon Wayans. where they kidnapped him to give their team a shot to beat the Boston Celtics. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I saw it, but I didn't. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I know exactly what movie you're talking about.
So the opposing team kidnaps Damon, or the whole the fans kidnap Damon Wayans to give their team a shot to beat Boston. Do you think Jacksonville fans are going to kidnap Blake Bortles to give them a better chance to win? Their own fans.
That might be their best. That might be the best move of this whole offseason, the whole season.
just curious. I was like, you know what? Their own fans might kidnap him and make it a whole lot easier on themselves.
They just might. Or hey, how about somebody bumps it, like get a car accident or something like that on the way to the stadium? Damn.
He is the worst quarterback in the playoffs right now. So,
we'll
see how that goes. All right, my brother, tell everyone how they can get a hold of your show and where they can tune in and get you on social media.
Every Saturday from 10 to 12 on NBC Sports Radio, KDUS, 1060 AM. Jim and I put it down on the Easy Sports Talk. And then we've got at Ed Smith Speaks on both the Twitter and the Instagram handle. And the website is edsmithspeaks.com. Come on there. Check out the radio page. I've also been pumping up the public speaking and everything like that. So if you're looking for a motivational speaker, I'm your man.
Yo, my brother, you know I appreciate you. You know I'm going to bug you again in the next 2 weeks, especially with this NFL stuff.
Absolutely, bro. You know I enjoy coming on with you, man.
All right, well, you know, I will be listening Saturday. Killer and Thriller got a game. Those freeloaders, they got a basketball game early, so I'll be able to check you out on the drive back home. So they're getting me out of bed early for an 8 a.m. game.
Make sure you tweet, man, so I can, or send me a text so I can respond back while we're on the air.
All right. All right, my brother. Well, listen, I appreciate it very much. And when this call is over, I'm going to call you. I want to give you some insight on something that's coming up.
Okay, sounds good, brother.
All right, now, thanks a lot.
You got it.
That's the one, the only Ed Smith on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Well, everyone, thank you. Thank you, Maduro's, for hosting us today. Like I said, get down here. 15% off any cigar purchase today. Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Thanks, Ed Smith, for coming on, like I said, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks for our callers to call in. Thanks for our friend Lou, who gives the call tomorrow. Fleagues at 15 minutes after the hour tomorrow. The one, only the biggest Suns apologist in the world, Kyle Fleagle, will be on with us. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. You know you can get us at the Sports Cave, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page, thesportscave.com. Go to the website, check out the articles, check out all that we have going on. Cave is always with a K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter before hearing from you. Thanks again, everyone. Have a good Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great night. Take care. I'm the world's greatest.